Chapter 50. Yes, that's father, apostrophe said Sol. Father, this is Mr. Julian. Mr. Julian, this gentleman here is Lord Mountclair's brother, and, to cut the story short, we all wish to stop the wedding. ... Then let us get on, in heaven's name. ... said Mountclair. You are the lady's father? ... I am, said Chickerel. Then you had better come into this carriage. We shall go faster than the dog cart. Now, driver, are the wheels right again? ... Chickerel hastily entered with Mountclair, Sol joined them, and they sped on. Christopher drove close in their rear, not quite certain whether he did well in going further, now that there were plenty of people to attend to the business, but anxious to see the end. The other three sat in silence, with their eyes upon their knees, though the clouds were dispersing, and the morning grew bright. In about 20 minutes the square unembattled tower of Nulcia Church appeared below them in the vale, its summit just touching the distant line of sea upon sky. The element by which they had been victimized on the previous evening now smiled falsely to the low morning sun. They descended the road to the village at a little more mannerly pace than that of the earlier journey, and saw the raised glance upon the hands of the church clock, which marked 9:25. 45. Nulcia, the road thence Enkworth, all eyes were directed to the church gate, as the travelers descended the hill. No wedding carriages were there, no favors, no slatternly group of women brimming with interest, no aged pauper on two sticks, who comes because he has nothing else to do till dying time, no nameless female passing by on the other side with a laugh of indifference, no ringers taking off their coats as they vanish up a turret, no obletahoys on tiptoe outside the chancel windows. In short, none whatever of the customary accessories of a country wedding was anywhere visible. Thank God! ... said Chickerel. Wait till you know he deserves it, ... said Mountclair. Nothing's done yet between them. ... It is not likely that anything is done at this time of day. But I have decided to go to the church first. You will probably go to your relative's house at once? ... Sol looked to his father for a reply. No, I too shall go to the church first, just to assure myself, ... said Chickerel. I shall then go on to Mrs. Peterwin's. ... The carriage was stopped at the corner of a steep incline leading down to the edifice. Mountclair and Chickerel alighted and walked on towards the gates, Sol remaining in his place. Christopher was some way off, descending the hill on foot, having halted to leave his horse and trap at a small inn at the entrance to the village. When Chickerel and Mountclair reached the churchyard gate, they found it slightly open. The church door beyond it was also open, but nobody was near the spot. We have arrived not a minute too soon, however, ... said Mountclair. Preparations have apparently begun. It was to be an early wedding, no doubt. ... Entering the building, they looked around. It was quite empty. Chickerel turned towards the chancel, his eye being attracted by a red kneeling cushion, placed at about the middle of the altar railing, as if for early use. Mountclair strode to the vestry, somewhat at a loss how to proceed in his difficult task of unearthing his brother, obtaining a private interview with him, and then, by the introduction of Sol and Chickerel, causing a general convulsion. Ha! Here's somebody, ... he said, observing a man in the vestry. He advanced with the intention of asking where Lord Mountclair was to be found. Chickerel came forward in the same direction. Are you the parish clerk? ... said Mountclair to the man, who was dressed up in his best clothes. I have the honor of that calling, ... the man replied. Two large books were lying before him on the vestry table, one of them being open. As the clerk spoke, he looked slantingly on the page, as a person might do to discover if some writing were dry. Mountclair and Chickerel gazed on the same page. The book was the marriage register. Too late. apostrophe apostrophe said Chickerel. There plainly enough stood the signatures of Lord Mountclair and Ethelberta. The Viscount's was very black, and had not yet dried. Her strokes were firm, and comparatively thick for a woman's, though paled by juxtaposition with her husband's muddled characters. And the space for witnesses' names appeared in trembling lines as fine a silky autograph of Piketty, the second name being that of a stranger, probably the clerk. Yes, yes, we are too late, it seems, apostrophe said Mountclair coolly. Who could have thought they'd marry a date? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Chickerel stood like a man baked hard and dry. Further than his first two words he could say nothing. They must have said about it early, upon my soul, apostrophe Mountclair continued. When did the wedding take place? Apostrophe he asked of the clerk sharply. It was over about 5 minutes before you came in, apostrophe replied that luminary pleasantly, as he played at an invisible game of pitch and toss with some half sovereigns in his pocket. I received orders to have the church ready at 8:05 this morning, though I knew nothing about such a thing till bedtime last night. It was very private and plain, not that I should mind another such a one, sir, apostrophe and he secretly pitched and tossed again. Meanwhile Sol had found himself too restless to sit waiting in the carriage for more than a minute after the other two had left it. He stepped out at the same instant that Christopher came past, and together they two went on to the church. Father, ought we not to go on at once to Ethelberta's, instead of waiting? Apostrophe apostrophe said Sol, on reaching the vestry, still in ignorance. 'Twas no use in coming here. Apostrophe apostrophe, no use at all, apostrophe said Chickerel, as if he had straw in his throat. Look at this. I would almost sooner have had it that in leaving this church I came from her grave. Well, no, perhaps not that, but I fear it is a bad thing. Apostrophe apostrophe, Sol then saw the names in the register, Christopher saw them, and the man closed the book. Christopher could not well command himself, and he retired. I knew it. I always said that pride would lead Berta to marry an unworthy man, and so it has. Apostrophe apostrophe said Sol bitterly. What shall we do now? I'll see her. Apostrophe, do no such thing, young man, apostrophe said Mountclair. The best course is to leave matters alone. They are married. If you are wise, you will try to think the match a good one, and be content to let her keep her position without inconveniencing her by your intrusions or complaints. It is possible that the satisfaction of her ambition will help her to endure any few surprises to her propriety that may occur. She is a clever young woman, and has played her cards adroitly. I only hope she may never repent of the game. Ahem. Good morning. Apostrophe apostrophe saying this, Mountclair slightly bowed to his relations, and marched out of the church with dignity, but it was told afterwards by the coachman, who had no love for Mountclair, that when he stepped into the fly, and was as he believed unobserved, he was quite overcome with fatuous rage, his lips frothing like a mug of hot ale. What an impertinent gentleman 'tis, apostrophe said Chickerel. As if we had tried for her to marry his brother. Apostrophe apostrophe, he knows better than that, apostrophe said Sol. But he'll never believe that Berta didn't lay a trap for the old fellow. He thinks at this moment that Lord Mountclair has never been told of us and our belongings. Apostrophe apostrophe, I wonder if he has deceived him in anything, apostrophe murmured Chickerel. I can hardly suppose it. But she is altogether beyond me. However, if he has misled him on any point she will suffer for it. Apostrophe apostrophe, you need not fear that, father. It isn't her way of working. Why couldn't she have known that, when a title is to be had for the asking, the owner must be a shocking one indeed. Apostrophe apostrophe, the title is well enough. Any poor scrubs in our place must be fools, not to think the match a very rare and astonishing honor, as far as the position goes. But that my brave girl will be miserable is a part of the honor I can't stomach so well. If he had been any other lord in the kingdom, we might have been merry indeed. I believe he will ruin her happiness, yes. I do not by any personal snubbing or rough conduct, but by other things, causing her to be despised. And that is a thing she can't endure. She's not to be despised without a deal of trouble, we must remember that. And if he insults her by introducing new favorites, as they say he did his first wife, I'll call upon him, and ask his meaning, and take her away. Nonsense, we shall never know what he does, or how she feels. She will never let out a word. However unhappy she may be, she will always deny it. That's the unfortunate part of such marriages. An old chap like that ought to leave young women alone, damn him. The clerk came nearer. I am afraid I cannot allow bad words to be spoken this sacred pile, he said. As far as my personal self goes, I should have no objection to your cussing as much as you like, but as a official of the church my conscience won't allow it to be done. Your conscience has allowed something to be done that cussing and swearing are godly worship to. The prettiest maid is left out of harness, however, said the clerk. The little witness was the chicken to my taste, Lord forgive me for saying it, and a man with a wife and family. Sol and his father turned to withdraw, and soon forgot the remark, but it was frequently recalled by Christopher. Do you think of trying to see Ethelberta before you leave? Said Sol. Certainly not, said Chickerel. Mr. Mountclear's advice was good in that. The more we keep out of the way, the more good we are doing her. I shall go back to Anglebury by the carrier, and get on at once to London. You will go with me, I suppose? The carrier does not leave, yet for an hour or two. I shall walk on, and let him overtake me. If possible, I will get one glimpse of Enkworth Court, Berta's new home. There may be time, if I start at once. I will walk with you, said Sol. There is room for one with me, said Christopher. I shall drive back early in the afternoon. Thank you, said Sol. I will endeavor to meet you at Corv's Gate. Thus it was arranged. Chickerel could have wished to search for Picotee, and learn from her the details of this mysterious matter. But it was particularly painful to him to make himself busy after the event, and to appear suddenly and uselessly, where he was plainly not wanted to appear, would be an awkwardness which the pleasure of seeing either daughter could scarcely counterbalance. Hence he had resolved to return at once to town, and there await the news, together with the detailed directions, as to his own future movements, carefully considered and laid down, which were sure to be given by the far-seeing Ethelberta. Sol and his father walked on together, Chickerel to meet the carrier just beyond Enkworth, Sol to wait for Christopher at Corv's Gate. His wish to see, in company with his father, the outline of the seat to which Ethelberta had been advanced that day, was the triumph of youthful curiosity and interest over dogged objection. His father's wish was based on calmer reasons. Christopher, lone and out of place, remained in the church, yet a little longer. He desultorily walked round. Reaching the organ chamber, he looked at the instrument, and was surprised to find behind it a young man. Julian first thought him to be the organist. On second inspection, however, he proved to be a person Christopher had met before, under far different circumstances. It was our young friend Ladywell, looking as sick and sorry as a lily with a slug in its stalk. The occasion, the place, and their own condition, made them kin. Christopher had despised Ladywell, Ladywell had disliked Christopher, but a third item neutralized the other two, it was their common lot. Christopher just nodded, for they had only met on Ethelberta's stairs. Ladywell nodded more, and spoke. The church appears to be interesting, he said. Yes. Such a tower is rare in England, apostrophe said Christopher. They then dwelt on other features of the building, thence enlarging to the village, and then to the rocks and marine scenery, both avoiding the malady they suffered from the marriage of Ethelberta. The village streets are very picturesque, and the cliff scenery is good of its kind, apostrophe rejoined Ladywell. The rocks represent the feminine side of grandeur. Here they are white, with delicate tops. On the west coast they are higher, black, and with angular summits. Those represent grandeur in its masculine aspect. It is merely my own idea, and not very bright, perhaps. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is very ingenious. Apostrophe said Christopher, and perfectly true. Apostrophe, Ladywell was pleased. I am here at present making sketches for my next subject, A Winter Sea. Otherwise I should not have happened to be in the church. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you are acquainted with Mrs. Peter when I think you are Mr. Ladywell, who painted her portrait last season. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, apostrophe said Ladywell, coloring. You may have heard her speak of Mr. Julian? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh yes, apostrophe said Ladywell, offering his hand. Then by degrees their tongues wound closer round the subject of their sadness, each tacitly owning to what he would not tell. I saw it, apostrophe said Ladywell heavily. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.